Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So do we still believe in hell? And there'd be a lot of people in today's way of thinking that would say, well, you know, if God is love, there cannot be a hell because then he would never send someone to hell. Well, I think it is true that if it was up to God, hell would be empty. Ezekiel 18, "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God, so turn and live." But God gives us a choice. He will not violate our freedom. This is the amazing thing about him. He so respects our dignity. He won't go against our will. If it's not our will to be in heaven with him, if we would choose otherwise, well, he won't force us. See, that would not be love. And God is love. By necessity, there must be a place for us to go if we don't want to be with him. If we would rather mock him and reject him and kill him, as we just heard, or if we would prefer to build our own heaven because we want something else or someone else more than we want him, or if we just would prefer to be all alone, perpetually bitter and angry and hateful and resentful and selfish, there must be a hell. Now, when we think of hell, we, of course, probably think of fire, right? A lake of burning sulfur, as the book of Revelation says, or Gehenna, as Jesus says, which was the burning trash dump outside the city of Jerusalem. But the real torment of hell is being cast out, being separated. "Depart from me," says Jesus, if that's what you want. Now, we probably think of heaven also as kind of a place, a happy, blissful place, of course. But it's not really about the place. It's really much more about who is in that space. That's why we have images of heaven that are things like the Father's house, or a wedding feast, or a vibrant city, the New Jerusalem. And you see, here's what I'm driving at. We just heard Jesus say to that thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And we glum onto the word paradise. We think, oh, yeah, soft sand, balmy temperatures, gentle breezes, going through the palm trees, turquoise waters, and a delicious tropical drink in my hand. That's paradise, especially this time of year, right? We think of it as a place. And no doubt when Jesus says paradise, he's referring back to the Garden of Eden. But what was so great about tropical Eden? It was that God was there, dwelling and walking with Adam and Eve. And so Jesus says to that thief today, "Today you will be with me." There's the emphasis, with me. That's the paradise. The night before he died for us in the upper room, Jesus said to the disciples, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." It's not so much about the place. And we get that. We all know that it's a house is a place, but a home is with the people that we love and with whom we live our life. Or have you ever noticed how many popular songs will sing of heaven? I Googled heaven songs. Eric Clapton, Brad Paisley, Bruno Mars, The Cure, Bryan Adams, Kane Brown, all of them and many, many more have written songs about heaven, but it is rarely, if ever, about the place. No, no, no. They may be a little bit misguided in their songs, or sometimes a lot, but they do have something right. When they sing about heaven, it's about the people they are with. Do we want to be with Jesus? If not, we always have the other option. He will not force us to be with him if that's not what we want. But friends, whether you know it or not, the deepest desire of your heart is Jesus. Now, if you're not exactly feeling that, then ask yourself, what is the desire of my heart? Where am I looking for heaven, for happiness, for fulfillment? And I'll ask you, how's that working for you? Do you have it? Well, maybe. All of the time? Are you confident that it will always be there? Can I tell you where to find heaven? It's here. It's there on the cross. Now, that might sound a little bit strange, maybe a bit of an oxymoron, because that actually looks like hell. Well, it's that too. The cross happened because human beings chose everything else but the God who made us for himself. We tried to separate ourselves from him by rejecting him and killing him. But he is love. God is love. Jesus is love. So he chose hell freely. As God, Jesus accepted our rejection and our abandonment. And as man, he was willing to suffer being cast out by God. My God, why have you forsaken me? But there in hell, on the cross, he gives us heaven. Look at the vertical beam of the cross, the up and the down. See, in that gap, in the space between heaven and earth, in that space that separates us from God and man, he put himself in that spot, in that place. The one who is both God and man brought God and man back together again in himself. This is what Paul was talking about in our second reading. For in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The king hanging on the cross is making a new kingdom, a new realm, a new place, and he wants us to be there. Paul says, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness, from hell. And he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Do you want to locate the deepest desire of your heart and find true happiness? Then, friends, heaven is not a place. Heaven is a person. He, Jesus, is heaven. He is our destiny. All things were created through him and for him, says Paul. Everything is aimed at Jesus. It's all for Jesus, every one of us individually and all of us together. And in fact, the whole universe will find its purpose and its meaning and its happiness and its fulfillment when it arrives to Jesus. He is heaven, and everything that is in him. He holds all things together, says Paul. Look now at that horizontal beam of the cross, his arms outstretched. He gathers us all to himself. He reconciles us with each other. As he pours out his forgiveness to us, then we share that forgiveness with one another, and we can be friends. We become family. We become saints. He holds all things together. In him, we, the saints, we are heaven. And heaven comes in two stages. First, it comes here and now. I mean, like, now, now. This is heaven, friends, this Eucharist. Because the one on the cross is here. As we eat his flesh and as we drink his blood, the sin that separates us from him and from each other is removed from us. And we have communion with us, and he enters into us, and we enter into him, and even into each other. This is heaven. We enter into heaven here and now. And we will enter into heaven there and then. There's more, of course. Heaven is not fulfilled. I am not fulfilled. You're not fulfilled. I am not yet filled full of love for him or for all of you. Not yet. But that is what will make us infinitely happy. Love. So what is veiled for us now under bread and wine, in which we can only see by faith, will there and then be unveiled. And we will see it with our resurrected bodies. So as we finish this series, I'd like us to dream again one more time, as we did a couple of weeks ago, of our destiny. Would you do me a favor and stand up, please? And if you are comfortable with the person next to you, if you would offer to them your hand. And close your eyes. What is the deepest desire of your heart? It is you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I want to be with you, Jesus. And with you, my loving Father, my Abba. And Holy Spirit, come fill me full with your life. And saints, I love you. I want to be with you, saints. With you, Mama Mary, courageous Paul, the apostles, the prophets, the martyrs, all of our loved ones, my grandparents, the two babies we lost in pregnancy, all of our friends who've gone before us. I want to be with all of you. I love all of you so much. All fulfilled. All filled so full of love. If you know this little song, I invite you to sing it as we praise Jesus.